All right, hi everybody. So today we're going to talk about the opposite of what we talked about last time. Last time we talked about the comfort zone, being in the comfort zone, and we sort of got deeply into what the comfort zone is and what it looks like and how it manifests and what our personality traits are around the comfort zone and how we play it safe in the comfort zone, and we don't want to get hurt, and we also, I think, talked about the cost of being in the comfort zone, the cost of being too safe, of being risk averse, of always being careful about never ever wanting to be disapproved of or rejected or any of that stuff. The thing is, if you only have a conversation about that, in some ways it can be kind of depressing. It's like, here I am. It's pretty obvious that a lot of time in my life, I do live in the comfort zone, but that's not something that our existing personality or persona really wants to look at. We'd rather go unconscious about that. We'd just rather go to sleep with that. It's like, oh my God, I am so unconscious. It's true. I just want to look good. I want to be careful. I don't want to risk. And it brings up the comfort zone then fights back even more, and we find that nothing much happens. So we got to get to the other side of the comfort zone, and that's what we're going to talk about. And it was kind of fortuitous that my client, Honor, the Irish client in Berlin I've been working about for a year, has really had this issue of living inside a particular comfort zone. And that comfort zone was all about not getting out there, not being exposed, not being seen as a dynamic person, want to be safe. Although when you talk to her, she's the most delightful person with a wonderful Irish accent and incredible energy. And yet, you know, when we started to work, she couldn't express herself on paper. You should have seen her website. Her website was like a frigging haiku on every page. Hey, Sarah, welcome.
Hi.
Glad you're here. You still on vacation?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
I'm in Cancun.
You're in Cancun?
Yeah.
That's not Ohio, Robert.
You said Cincinnati yesterday.
You know what? It auto-corrected. It auto-corrected from Cancun to Cincinnati.
Thank God. That was the worst vacation spot I could have imagined.
Tuesday. You know, I hadn't heard from her a while. She said, I'm in Mexico on vacation. And I said, I can't meet Friday. I screwed up the vacation schedule. And she said, okay, no problem. I'm in Mexico. And the next one, she says, it's so beautiful in Cincinnati. And I thought, was this another leg of her vacation?
No, I didn't even notice until yesterday that it said Cincinnati, but it auto-corrected. It was Cancun.
Okay, that's right. Fine. So are you on a laptop? Or try not to move too much. You're giving us...
Okay, sorry. I'll just see if I can show you guys the view from my
patio. All right.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Sweet.
There you go. Okay, good nice. To go.
Hey, you know, last week on the call, you looked so stressed and you looked so relaxed and having fun today. So we were just talking about the comfort zone. Listen to the first 10 minutes of this. It's important. We give sort of an overview of this, the first 5 minutes only, actually. And then I'm talking about my client, Honor, for Kovacs. And she's, you know, was holding herself back. But she was very courageous. She'd take the next step. She wrote her website. I mean, she had a website that literally had nothing on it that said anything, that was cryptic beyond belief. You know, like six sort of blah sentences on each page. It was nothing. And she didn't want to put it out what she was. But with my encouragement, the website toolkit, and kicking her in the butt, she wrote amazingly. I mean, she's highly educated, super smart, and she has a style of writing that's incredibly engaging. And she writes, she can pack more into one page than most people can pack into five pages. She's very concise and powerful in her writing. And she actually told me the other day that people are reading my stuff and reading every page because it just carries them on page by page. So anyway, so she's getting those results. She's doing some networking. then she had a breakthrough in her business. She knew somebody that knew somebody, and there's this big business conference in Montenegro. I don't even know where Montenegro is, but it's this place in Europe. And she got a talk, and we worked on several sessions on her talk and her slides and practicing and everything. Anyway, she went to Montenegro, and she was a big hit. She was, everybody loved it. She was making connections. And then she came back and started to do some follow-up and, you know, ultimately doing a few things. And then it was like still putting the brakes on. It's like you've got to reach out to these people, connect with them. And we had lots of plans and things she knew she could do but was holding back. And then a catalytic thing happened to her. She read that interview by John Scherer. And it was like it hit her like a freaking ton of bricks. She read it, absorbed it. She did the exercise about her shadow self. She owned it. And it transformed. Sarah, put yourself on. I'm going to put you on mute. I think it's you. I don't know. Or, you know, you might want to put yourself on mute as well. Anyway, she went through all of that, and she wrote me and said, I am fearless. I've had a breakthrough. Miss Perfect, I realized, was good for certain things, for getting things right and keeping things in order, but I needed to tap into the shadow part of myself, which is the bold part of myself, the fearless part of myself. And she started contacting people, and she got a new client like that week, and she got three more appointments, and it was like, oh my God, I've been missing this. I've been trying to be bold while still being careful. I've been trying to be out there while still looking good. I've been trying to do that, but it's like pushing against a rock. So she had a breakthrough with this. So that's why I wanted you to read this article. Now, I don't know if, did you read the article? Put your hand up. Okay. Didn't read it. You're so bad. Okay. So, Leanne, you didn't read it yet? I can't hear you.
I read it. I told you I did.
Oh, sorry. I didn't see your hand, you know.
Yeah, I had it up.
Okay. I can't remember things like that. What can I tell you? Good. And Sarah, did you read it? Sarah disappeared. Sarah, did you read it? No? You're on vacation. Fine. When you get back from vacation, make it a top priority. It doesn't take too long to read it. Although it's a long interview. It's over 50 pages. But I think it's one of the best interviews I've ever done. We had such good simpatico about what we were talking about. So I want to get into this whole concept of the shadow and what it is and clear away misconceptions about that and talk about how we can use that. So what he starts with is we have people that we don't like. They rub us the wrong way. They're too over the top for us. They seem to be the polar opposite to our particular personality, whatever our personality is. So even though I did this interview 6 years ago, the archetype that I chose when I wrote and read the book, you know, I really got into that book. Few books I read that fast. And it's a 250-page book. I read it in three sittings 6 years ago. And the archetype was Donald Trump back then because, you know, his apprentice show had been on the air and we'd seen a fair amount of him. You know, Donald Trump has been around for a long time, as you know. I'm so obsessed with Donald Trump that I bought this book by Gary Trudeau. And this is from Trump cartoons going back to the 80s. So Gary Trudeau had Trump's number a long time ago and realized what a buffoon he was. Nevertheless, he said the concept of taking a archetypal character that sort of is the opposite of what you want to be. You know, I'm about high integrity and authenticity and no hype and marketing with being real. And if you've been seeing him on the presidential or the the campaign trail, Trump is the opposite of that. The opposite, opposite, opposite. 40% of what he said is made up, blah, 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 all that stuff. But this is what John said. You want to take that archetype and squeeze all the bad crap out of that and see what's left. So you take out the lies, you take out the overhype and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. And you see some useful characteristics. The guy is not afraid to get out there. He's not afraid to make a fool of himself, which he does daily. But look, it works for millions of people. You got to get that. It's not that a few people like him. Millions of people, you know, like that. They see that part of him, perhaps, not the really ugly part of that. So you squeeze that out of Trump and you find a brilliant promoter, someone knows how to get attention better than anyone in the world right now, seriously. And there's a lot of things that you could embrace yourself. Look, those kind of things are also a part of you. We deny those things, but we have our own personal boldness. Now, for instance, these words, risky, explorative, experimental, creative, fearless, those kind of qualities, out there. What category of person has those characteristics in great abundance all the time? Who?
I think entrepreneurs need to.
Entrepreneurs, yeah. Younger than entrepreneurs.
Oh, toddlers, of course. They're running around doing all that stuff. That's why you got to keep your eye on them constantly.
That's right. Yeah, kids are born fearless. They're born exploring. They're born bold. I mean, you know, until we, as John says, we give them a somebody training that, you know, about 4 or 5 years old. Well, actually, since the day they're born, you know, this is right, this is wrong, do this, don't do that, be careful, don't cross the road, blah, blah, blah. And we absorb that. That becomes our society. Now, there are some societies that are bolder and some societies that are more careful. There's, you know, different cultures. But all kids are born fearless, out there, whatever. So it's really embracing natural qualities. We all were born with those. They're inherent to us. They're not something we have to add to ourselves. They're already there, but covered over by our persona, being careful, being in the comfort zone, not wanting to look bad. You know, I had this in my never-ending quest to have breakthroughs on doing videos. I said, oh, I get it. My persona is always about looking good. You know, as disgusting that as that is in a certain way, it's just about looking good. Not everything, but there's a part of me, persona, that just wants to look good. Now, who here gets up in the morning and says, let's go for it. I want to look bad, really bad, and get out there and be ugly bad? Nobody. Virtually nobody. Except a certain category of person. And not all of them. Who doesn't worry so much, or at least to their public facade, about what they look like, and they're not careful, and they're out there, and they're whatever? Who? Entrepreneurs, maybe sometimes, but more obviously. And these are people that we exalt. These are people that we adore. These are people that we love. They're some of the most loved people in our society, and they're not interested, at least in their public persona, in looking good. Who are those people? Can't think? Oh, I stumped you. Aha! Comedians! Think of George Carlin. Think of Richard Pryor. Think of Louis Black. I saw Louis Black being interviewed on TV. Louis Black is, I don't think he's the best comedian in the world. I don't know if you know who Louis Black is. But he has this sort of curmudgeon comedy. And he doesn't, it's like he's being totally himself, how disgusted he is with people in politics. You have this funny look on your face, Leanne. Are you thinking about Louis Black, comedians? Do you get what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. I don't actually know him.
Okay. Well, don't worry. That doesn't matter. The principle is, you know, if you're really going to be out there, you can't be safe. You have to look silly. You have to look crazy sometimes. You have to do crazy things. Now, the other thing that John said that I think is very, very important is he says, don't go totally into that part of you that's totally uncomfortable, because your persona, your comfort zone, cannot take that. You have to do it in small doses, and he calls that a stretch. So, you know, here's what's safe for me. What's safe for me is being nice. What's safe for me is being a good person. What's safe for me is looking good. What's safe for me is doing things consistently and in an organized kind of way. Now, all those are fine. But one of the points he made is the growth in your business will not come from your existing persona. It cannot come from there because it's worn out. It's been done to death. You've been doing it for years. You've got the act down perfect. And you have to step outside of that. That's where the potential for growth is. Now, you might call that, Sarah, I love you there with your thing, your bathing suit, and your glasses. You look like one of those cover models. I think you should emphasize that part of yourself more. You know, very beautiful person, but kind of very buttoned up and careful and professional. And here she is like a cover model in Cancun. I just love it. Can you say something? No, okay, fine. So the stretch part is where growth will be, where you get past the comfort zone and discover that those stretch parts of your shadow self can find, you know, you can ultimately embrace that in your marketing and start feeling okay with it. You can say things that are a little more outrageous. You can be, let me give you, before I get into this too soon. So let's just do it this way. Give me some of your comfort zone characteristics. Let's just work with some people. What's a typical comfort zone characteristic for you that you can be pretty much counted on to fall back to? Come on.
Well, I'll go. Mine are this pretty similar to yours. Being nice, being trying to get it right, doing a good job.
Okay, let's take being nice. Just one, you know.
Yeah.
This isn't about making a list and saying comfort zone bad, shadow self good, try to be there. You want to really look at it in more depth, and you just can, you know, one, you can explore others as you go. So being nice.
I think
so. Is there anything wrong with being nice?
Well, I want to refine it because it would be even more helpful for me if we looked at it like this way, like taking care of other people, really. That's what it is. That's what's getting in the way.
Yeah. Did that part resonate with you in the interview?
I was one of the people that was shaking my head. I haven't read it yet.
I haven't read it. Okay.
Sick. I could hardly do anything.
I was up till 4 o'clock last night. Stay up later.
I was up till 3, Robert, working. Gotcha.
I take it back. I'm sorry. Find a time this weekend to read it.
Yeah.
Carve out that time. And guess what you have to do to carve out that time for yourself? Isn't it funny? Talking about that. Right. And that's the thing you're not doing for yourself.
Absolutely.
John talks about how, United Airlines says, in the case of loss of cabin pressure, a mask will drop in front of you, put it over your head, etc. If there is someone, such as a child, next to you that needs help, put your own mask on first, then help your child. That's kind of a meme. I've heard that so many times. So we're the only person that ultimately can take care of ourselves. That doesn't mean you ignore your family, but it means that you try to stretch into a little bit more helping yourself than you used to. Being a little more selfish. See, being a little selfish, just like the oxygen mask, you get to save another person.
Right. But you know what? Here's the trouble with that kind of thing is that I know that. I've said that to people before. So the challenge is how to get that breakthrough. I do have a model. Like, I do have a person who is my, that alter archetype kind of person that alter me.
Yeah,
She's super successful, and she does focus on herself all the time. And I think I could move somewhat in that direction.
Yeah, we actually talked about that on our last meeting.
Well, yeah, because she's also, the same person is also very direct in her communication.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We're not talking about a brain transplant here. We're not talking about a complete personality transport. We're not talking about a breakthrough transformation. We're talking about a stretch. So let's talk about what a stretch is. So you got to think about this and look about it and be specific and bring it down to one or two specific actions. And then you negotiate with yourself. So what's something that might be possible to do outside of always taking care of other people and always disregarding yourself? Something you could do more for yourself, not just for clients, but some part of it for yourself.
Well, you know, I mean,
not 10 things, not 50 things, right. Not a personality change, but an action.
How it affects my marketing is that I hesitate to call people because they're so busy. And so that when I start to think I'm going to call them, I think, oh gosh, they've got so much going on. I hate to be a burden, you know.
Okay, but isn't that a different one than I don't take time for myself?
No, yeah, it is, but I didn't say I don't take time for myself. I said I take care of other people. That's what gets in the way for me. And this is one of the manifestations of me taking care of other people.
Is
not wanting to bother them at work.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you'll find in the comfort zone, it's not like these, you know, you have these different words for it, but they're all related. They're all part of a family. They're all part of a family called our persona, as John says, or our personality, or different traditions have called it different things. That doesn't matter too much. But yeah, I've heard this a lot. I don't want to be an interruption. Remember
right.
The conversation with a client like that. And so I said, well, okay, has anyone ever interrupted you and that's been a good thing?
Yeah.
Has anyone interrupted you, and every time did you say, don't ever call me, and if you do, I'll send a hitman out to get you? I mean, what's the worst that could happen? What?
Not very often.
Yeah, what's the worst that could happen if you interrupted somebody about the incredible value that you had to offer? Isn't being in business a big part of it, simply being interrupted? I mean, look, I hate being interrupted personally, but you know, last night I'm here, it's after hours, I'm just fiddling around with something, and somebody calls and said, it's PG&E, we want to do a survey. And I always say I don't have time, because I don't, but I did have time, so I did the survey. And it made me, and I learned some things, and I learned that I could get a home energy audit for free. So what the heck? It wasn't a big thing. So for yourself, that would be a stretch for you.
Yeah.
To reach out. What was the AT&T saying? Reach out and touch someone? No, for you, it's reach out and interrupt someone.
Okay.
Well, turn it into a jingle. I'll reach out and interrupt someone. Make their day. You might make their day. Maybe they need you, whatever. And so then you go, okay, well, let's be smart about this. How do I make a call that doesn't feel like an interruption? Because we've got this big comfort zone block of it's an interruption and I don't want to do it. And then we're not looking at it in any nuanced kind of way. When I say, I don't say, pick up the call and say, I'm Nancy Clift, and you need to work with me. And if you don't, you're an idiot, because I'm the best damn focus move moderator Are you east or west of the Mississippi? Whatever.
Both.
On the Mississippi. So suck it, I'm coming over. I mean, we're not telling you to do that. But it's almost the mind is saying, well, that's what it's got to look like. That's what the interruption is. We magnify what's negative and it gets out of control. And of course we don't make the call because we turn it into this negative thing instead of, well, what's the worst that can happen? Well, they might not be interested right now. What's the worst? Well, I might not reach them. What's the worst? I'll leave a message. What's the worst? I could send them an email. What's the worst? I could try them again. I could create a little script that was okay. Not perfect, but okay. I could use my message. I could send them my wonderful page that you spent a gazillion dollars on to show how I was different. You haven't sent that to enough people.
My worst case scenario, I know it. My worst case scenario is worse than the ones you listed for me.
Is it?
It is that I might be able to tell that they don't like me or that they will no longer like me because I interrupted them. And that is a button for me that is just gets in the way repeatedly.
Who can relate to this? They might not like me. Yeah.
I'm jealous of the rest of you.
So how many people in your life that have interrupted
you? Mine is that they might not think I'm confident, right? It's the F and the T.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
So.
Yes.
Not confident. Not smart enough. Not competent enough.
Competent.
Not educated enough. Not experienced enough.
Yeah.
You know, I remember early, sort of pre my business, or I don't know when it was, I used to sell exercise equipment. I was talking to Luann about yesterday. And then, you know, I was mixed up in multi-level schemes and all that crap and trying to make money. And I discovered the magic of aloe vera and how great it was and, you know, all this stuff. And was drinking gallons of aloe vera. I've done everything. I've tried everything. Didn't do much for me. But anyway, someone bought one of my exercise things. So I said, hey, I got this tape about how great aloe vera is, so I mailed this tape to one person, and then I followed him up and said, hey, did you listen to the tape, and do you think you might be interested? And he basically ridiculed me. I don't even know what this thing is. I don't know why I would be interested, and why are you calling me anyway kind of thing. It was like, so that was like a bad moment in the life of Robert Middleton and future business prospects. But ultimately, when I started as a coach, I said, I got to get over that shit. I have to be educated, know what I'm talking about, prepare and all that stuff, and, you know, and get past my fear. And so in the early days of my business, I did a lot of follow-up with people I met, but it was more appropriate than sending them a freaking aloe vera tape and seeing if they're interested in aloe vera. I mean, I tried a lot of that stuff and I discovered what didn't work. But so for Nancy, how many people have interrupted you and you hate them now?
Well, I don't hate anybody, but if they already didn't like me, I might figure it out. So there have been people who've interrupted me that I didn't like. But I get what you're getting at. I mean, it's unlikely. I just
yes.
And I don't really care. I mean, at a really fundamental level.
At a real authentic level, you don't care. At a superficial persona, it's your whole frigging life. It's like it takes over. But when you really look at the reality of it, it's just such a piddly thing. I had a conversation with I have a client that helps women who are infertile and can't have a baby. She helps them with fertility, mind, body, spirit, and emotions. And even people that work with fertility doctors that haven't been successful, she works with people and she has a 90% success rate. So some people think it's kind of woo-woo and we're having the same conversation. And I said, she was talking about her in-laws judging her. It's worse enough that strangers judge her. You know, her mother-in-law says, Why are you doing this nonsense? Why don't they just go to a fertility doctor? I mean, no compassion for her daughter-in-law at all. No interest, no nothing. And so she says that hurts. So there's my fear. If when I go to networking, I talk about stuff, people might put me down. And the point I made with her is I said, so you're afraid of people judging you, right? She said, yes, really afraid of people judging me. I said, do you know that people judge you all the time anyway? Every person you ever talked to in your life, even for a moment, has judged you. Sometimes it's for the good, sometimes for the bad. Do you have any control over that, really? I mean, you present yourself the best you can, but who knows? Maybe they don't like blonde people. Maybe they don't like people with a big natural smile like she has. She has a beautiful smile. She's a very radiant person. Some people could be threatened by that. Who knows? Do people judge you that you don't even know? Yeah. If you sent a tweet about Donald Trump, do you think he might judge you as being a know-nothing idiot underhead? Maybe you'd have the honor of being tweeted about by Donald Trump. Unlikely. He only insults famous people. He'd say, you're not famous enough to even tweet about, so I won't even mention your name. Whatever. We're all judged all the time, right? How? And you're in your 40s, late, how old are you? I'm not going to ask your age. I won't be rude unless you want to tell me. Have you survived to this age while millions of people have judged you? You've done okay. You've had a family. You've had success in your business. I mean, so this the worst it could be is really not that bad. I'm going to call people and see how they're judging me today. They will. Put your sound on, Nancy. She can't unmute herself. There you go.
There I am. Sorry about that.
Okay. Can you adjust your computer a little so I can see your a little more of your head?
I am okay. I'm just self-conscious because I'm sick and I feel.
So we kind of shape to here. It's like you're up to water up here. You know,
do this and be, you know, Kilroy.
Yeah. You might look sick, but you actually look fine. So okay. I'm not judging you for how you look today. I'm really not. Relax. So again, what is the stretch for us? What is the stretch for? So the stretch for a lot of us is what most of us or many people perceive as the hardest thing of all in marketing. It's following up in some way or other. Not necessarily making cold calls. That's even perceived as harder. And it is because if someone is, you know, if you're a stranger, people, you know, are more cautious and that's just what happens. But just following up, even on people that you know about or people have been referred to you, it is the biggest fear. It's just because exactly what you said. So do you realize that you share a trait and a fear with almost everybody on planet Earth?
Yeah.
It's sort of like, I have hair and I'm afraid to do follow-up calls. So, but that's significant.
Yeah.
I'm afraid. And yet, it's the people that stretch a bit in that area. See, I'm not asking you to be the champion, the world champion of follow-up calls. You don't need to be successful. But you have to be somewhat competent at it. You have to be willing to do perhaps a little more of it, a stretch, you know. So just asking that question, is that threatening to ask you to stretch a little bit? See, that's not so threatening. If I say you must have a breakthrough today. Now, I have a friend and associate who has had problems with this, and he took on, well, what I would call an insane project. Right? He said, I am going to offer 100 free coaching sessions to just get over getting out there. And he's doing it. And he's so busy that he can hardly get to anything else. But he's getting a few clients. He's learning how this works. He's stretching himself out there. Do not take that on as a project, anybody. Don't do that one. That's more than a stretch. That's a leap into the freaking void, right? And sometimes you have a major realization. It's like, what's the worst that can happen? I'm not going to die. I might get a client. It might be the best client I ever have. How can I know? I can only know until I connect with them. So you find a way, you make a plan, you make a promise, you create a script, you put a time on your calendar, you make a promise to someone and it happens the first thing in the day or whatever. You create a simple strategy that's a stretch for you to reach out. And there's a lot of people on this call that need to do more than that. Sarah needs to do that more, right, Sarah? She wants to connect with all these HR organizations. And I'll tell you, in many ways, your call is easier because, look, no, there's nobody competing with you. It's interesting and intriguing and novel. It will get immediate attention and curiosity. Whereas with poor Nancy here, there's so many other people that do what she does. It's like, how can I stand out? And that's another reason not to do it. So I'm trying to take away your excuses. We've been working on that. And, Carol, you're here.
I am.
All right. And Oliver is, he's plugging away. So, Oliver, so thank you, Nancy.
Can I just respond to Nancy before we move on?
Yeah.
Quickly. So, Nancy, I've run into the same thing because I have to return, I guess it's not necessarily initiating calls like you're talking about, but I have to return a lot of calls, and I have a percentage of my client load that are new moms that I never know when they're going to be sleeping or busy or whatever. So I almost always start my call to anybody, am I catching you at a good time? And that just, you know, then it's they're giving me permission to continue. And 99% of the time, oh, yeah, it's fine, or hold on a minute, or, you know, this is actually a perfect time. And then I can relax, and they feel like I asked them permission to speak to them. And that one little phrase is very helpful. So I could feel like I can call them anytime, even if it's not, and they could say, actually, no, can you call me back? But most of the time, it's fine, and it just smooths it over. So
when did you figure that out?
I have no idea. I just do it. I don't know when I figured it out.
So, yeah, it's one of those discoveries, and the only way you make that discovery is making the follow-up calls. And maybe
someone told me it's bad time. Maybe I had someone tell me it's a really bad time. I don't know. Maybe that's how it came about.
And you said, well, I'll try it. And it's worked ever since. And now you have a little technique that helps you stretch.
And they seem to like it. It's a nice, easy opening to start. That was one thing. And I had another thought. So as far as that, the thing that you're thinking about, Nancy, which was like you always want to take care of other people, right? Yeah. What if you turn it around and start to frame it to yourself and start to believe it, that you're actually taking care of other people when you call them to share your services because they do need them and will benefit from them. They just don't know it yet.
Yeah, that does work for me. That's a good idea and a good reminder to do that.
Yeah. In fact, you're abusing them if you don't call them.
Yes.
That's funny. So you're ripping them off from the value of your services. It isn't helping them.
You're being selfish by withholding your gift.
Right.
So it's more selfish not to call than it is to call. That's what you got to tell yourself.
That's funny.
Yeah, see, this kind of conversation, so we sort of get this concept of reaching out and stretching into a part that seems bad to us, that seems repugnant to us, that we've judged so much. But this kind of conversation of ways to think about it that are very different than the ways we think about it, and it's so hard to think of those ways because we're so stuck in the persona, and we're so stuck. Yeah. And that's why, you know, add the belief work to that. So people will reject me and hate me and judge me and not like me. Just really look at it and realize that it's just made up crap. It's just made up. And you made it up a long time ago.
Yeah.
And you've been living with it in a very comfortable kind of way. You know, some people can get by in life fine without making follow-up calls because they don't have a business and whatever. But, you know, there's this thing of how people, I don't know, a million people have said it, we tend to live very small lives compared to what's possible. A small life is living inside the comfort zone. A bigger life is including more. So even including the insanity that is Donald Trump and seeing the positive sides that some of that has, you squeeze out all the negative insanity and racism and bullshit and fear-mongering, and you've got a guy that's willing to ask for the deal, willing to reach out, willing to call a spade, even if he's wrong. You know? So you can be inspired by someone like Donald Trump. Now, in the article, John says, my shadow side, my shadow archetype is Dick Cheney. You know, Dick Cheney, the person we all know and love. So, you know, he left office with a 25% approval, and he's still at that, and he doesn't care because he believes he's right. And there's a certain nobility in that. He really cares about America. He really does. He does a lot for veterans. He's very confident. I think he's wrong about every political view he's ever had, but you've got to admire him for a certain stick-to-itiveness. You squeeze out the bad, and what's left is someone that's very powerful in a lot of ways, something that you can adopt because it's already in you, just like a kid. It's there. It's natural to you. You know, if your five-year-old, if you had a five-year-old or a four-year-old, mommy would like you to call her client. Let's dial the number and you talk. They'd go, hi, who is it? No fear. That wouldn't be a very effective call. And then you pick up the phone and say, oh, that was my daughter. She does my pre-calling for me. Think outside the box. Think a little crazy and then dial it down to what's sane. You got to do it. You got to do it. Look what happened when you did some of that. You are now on the approved list of 3M. You have now had three projects worth more than $20,000, right? Was that okay with you that you got those three clients for $20,000? Would it be okay with you if you hadn't tried and you'd held back and simply worried about the fact that you weren't on the list? Remember when you hired me and you joined the club and said, that's what I want?
I do.
Yeah.
It's worth the money.
Yeah. So that paid for the whole program right there, just those clients, right?
Sure.
So that's the idea. Okay, now we're gonna talk to Oliver. Unmute yourself, Oliver, please. So, Oliver, who's your archetypal, you know, evil person for you? The person that you would least likely to be identified with. If someone said, oh, you're just like that person, you'd go, oh my God, I'd rather commit suicide. Who would that person be?
Oh, it's a Sandler Sales Institute franchisee in New York. And he's a total butt. He's just arrogant, obnoxious, doesn't care, and
manipulative.
Manipulative, absolutely. I mean, you could work out a deal with him that's worth $20,000, and you'll wind up, that's supposed to be a split, and he'll get $19,990 out of it. You know, just unbelievable.
Yeah, okay. So, now take the image of that guy, and you'll like this image. Squeeze him.
Well, he's a pretty big guy, so you probably need to run over him with a bulldozer or something.
Okay, run over him with a bulldozer and squeeze all the bad out of him.
Yeah.
What have you got left that's useful?
He's actually very, very, very intelligent. He's very effective in terms of helping his clients. And, you know, apart from that, I mean, just if you can wash the bad taste out of your mouth after you get done with them, it'd be pretty good.
Yeah, but that's gone. We squeezed that out. We squeezed it out, and that's gone. And you're looking at at the most useful parts of that shadow side.
Yeah, he delivers. He delivers results.
Is he fearless to a certain degree?
He's totally fearless.
Fearless. He doesn't care what people think, right?
Uh-uh.
Uh-uh. And, you know, he doesn't see those bad sides. So that's, you know, unfortunately for him. But he, nevertheless, he's helped a lot of people. But he's turned off a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, just like Trump.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what would a stretch characteristic of that guy be for you? One of those characteristics that you admire in him that would really help you in your business that you're not stretching into?
Oh, reaching out to the right kinds of people. He will reach out to anybody. I would have to modify that somewhat.
He would not reach out to anybody?
He would reach out to anybody. I don't want to just reach out to anybody.
Okay.
Period. I just don't.
Okay, but you would reach out to who?
Reach out to what I would profile to be an ideal client.
Yeah, you would reach out to your ideal clients.
Yeah.
So he'd say to you, what's his name? First name?
Oh, I'd rather not say. His first name is Mark.
Fine. We don't need to know his last name. We'll never know it. It will be lost to history. If anyone digs this up from my archive 100 years after I'm dead, we will not vilify Mark.
I call him MF, but that's a whole other deal.
MF. Okay, so Mark is coaching you now, and he says, he's saying, Oliver, get off your freaking butt and just make the call. Smile and dial. Call.
Well, and the actual words would be, pick up the phone.
Pick up the damn phone. And if they're not interested, if you get the slightest bit of hesitation, slam the phone down and call somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we're gonna tone that down. But still, I'd say, hey, Mark, pick up the phone. You know what? They're not gonna kill you. They're not gonna beat you up. Sort of the conversation we had with Nancy. They might be interested. There's money at the end of the rainbow there. Some people have money at the end. Some people need you. They need to hire you. And look, you're good. You're smart. You're successful. You know how to help people. So stop telling yourself that it has to be perfect. And then you have to do it right all the time. And then you have to find the right time. And you have to move into your new house. And you have to arrange your pictures before you make the calls or whatever. I'm kind of like that. It's like I like organization before I do certain things like that. But anyway, so just make the calls, Mark. And so how would you find a way to do that? I mean, I know you're doing some, but every time I talk to you, you say, yeah, but I'm not doing enough.
This is true.
Yeah.
Well, I just need to start with name one and go through the list, period. And I've had excuses. You know, I just...
So would Mark have excuses?
Hell no.
He wouldn't have excuses. No. So
he could be on a bus and he'd be making calls, you know.
Yeah, he's found the joy of reaching out.
He would yell at the guy who's trying to make him pay his fare. They're like, not now, I'm busy.
Yeah, I'll get to you. So, see, I want Mark to become your inner coach, but the new improved, the good parts of Mark, the persistent parts of Mark, the intelligent parts of Mark. What would he say to you without taking off the edge and not making you wrong? He wouldn't say. Make the calls, you fuck up. He would say.
Me too.
You would say that. You would say, Just make those calls, man. You can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to add the make wrong to the end. You don't have to add the I'm better than you, you know.
Yeah.
I'll make more calls in a day than you make in a frigging lifetime. What's wrong with you? You don't have to go that far. What's the stretch? What we default to, we get so far up the ladder, and then what kicks in again is what?
The comfort zone.
The comfort zone kicks in. So you got to sit down and figure it out. How am I going to do it? How am I going to get support? How can I surround myself with it? What am I going to do? How am I going to break through? How am I going to do it? How am I going to say, okay, I said I was going to call in the first 2 hours. Screw that. All I know is I will make two calls until I reach two people and then find a different way, find a different goal, find a different strategy. You know, don't you sometimes struggle with something like this for a long time? You realize, okay, I got to finally, ultimately do it, or I'm going to implode from my resistance.
Well, my wife's been out buying furniture, which I don't understand because most of it we don't need. So I got to do it.
Yeah. So, you know, we all struggle with things. We all do things that we don't want to do, and we don't do things that we want to do. We all do. Some are just more than others. For me, I can't go to bed early at night. It's been bad in my life, but now it's worse than it's ever been. I have no idea why. And actually, then I go through my day. I've only had 4 or 5 hours sleep, and I'm actually not tired all day, and I stay up late. I know it's not good for my health, but I am going on vacation tomorrow. So I got to get more sleep. I'm going to give my permission to sleep in as late as I want every single day. My wife says, let's go and do something. No, I want to sleep. I must sleep. I need to sleep. Anyway, I go to bed earlier. So you got to find a way. We have to find a way, because if we don't, we've got to find the transformation. We've got to find that change. But we, in trying to do that, often we set an unreasonable goal. I mean, your original goal for this was absolutely, totally unreasonable. You know, I want to reach 20 people this week. I said, that's fantasy land. So you got to think long and hard about this, all of you, about what can I make work for me, not for some perfect self that says I have to be perfect and then we don't do anything. Do it imperfectly, but have it be a stretch for you. Have it be a stretch. You don't have to stretch in everything else in your life, just in that area, just in that thing. Sort of like if you do 20 push-ups, how do I get to 21? And a week later, I go to 22. See, I've hit up my plateau at 30. I could do 40, but oh, God. That's not so important. But for you, what's that stretch? So, you know, I recommend that you read the interview again because you missed most of it the first time because there's so many ideas there. Underline it, make notes, think about it, look at the examples. You know, we had a great back and forth. I'd say an idea, he'd build on it. He'd say an idea, and I'd build on it. We really got into the essence of this, of really what this means. And I recommend you order his book and read it. It's really a good read. It's really fun to read, fascinating, interesting, well-written, great stories. It's moving, it's inspiring, it's interesting, it's not bullshit, it's good stuff. You can get it by Kindle, and I'm not getting a commission, for God's sake, for Kindle, for whatever, and there's no new editions, but it's you can get it online for as little as $5 or $6 from Amazon resellers. So I recommend you get it. Okay? I often bite off more than I can chew. I order books and then I never finish them, but I ultimately do get to things like that. Okay, so Sarah, okay, unmute yourself. So Sarah's in vacation mode, so.
Sorry, I thought I did just unmute myself.
Okay, here you go. Okay. So who's your archetype, the last person you'd want to be?
I guess, like, I have a stereotype in my mind of the pushy, obnoxious sales, used car sales guy, who's sleazy and self-invested. Yeah, like, that's sort of my archetype.
Yeah, kind of like Mark's guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Oliver's guy, Mark.
MF.
MF. Yeah, kind of like that. See, that is a... that's a very common stereotype and archetype. It really is. In fact, I used to lead more workshops, and a question I always asked in the workshop, if you think of a salesperson, who is the archetypal salesperson? And 100% of the time, or close to 100%, people said used car salesperson.
Right.
So that's an archetype, not just in your head. It's just out there as... And that's the last person we want to be like. So we don't want to be like that. We want to embrace the positive parts of a used car salesman. And we think that's not even impossible. So we don't want to be there. We want to stay in our comfort zone in our persona. We don't want to go there. It's not good. It's bad. It's ugly. And I don't want to be that. I don't want to be thought of that. And every time you pick up the phone to talk to somebody, that's what pops into your head. And it makes you sort of nauseous, right? Just the thought of it. How's that
work? I had an interesting experience here in Cancun yesterday or the day before. I sort of left the group that I'm traveling with, and I went for a walk by myself, and there was a flea market. They stepped into the flea market, and probably like 25 people jumped up and were like, hola, senorita, come in here. Like, I was just, it was so overwhelming. I was just like, no, I'm not going yet. Like, I'm leaving. And one of the gentlemen, because I wouldn't go into the store, he was like, fine then, I hope you get lost. But it totally reminded me of everything that I don't want to be. Like, it was just, he was just a jerk.
Yes.
Yeah, and that self-interest piece. Something that Carol said really, really resonated with me, because she sort of flipped the script on that and said, like, particularly for me who has a business that or a service that really isn't offered anywhere else, that idea of it not being fair to companies to not let them know this service is out there, I think really resonates with me. That's very powerful for me. That's a thought that will get me out there making calls, because it's absolutely true. There's no way for anyone to know that this service is out there unless I'm making those calls. So,
yeah, you've got the best kept secret.
Yeah.
Trying to relate this, someone had a saying, I don't want to die with my potential intact. In other words, I want to use it all. And you don't want to die with $100 million in the bank. You want to have spent some of it and really enjoyed yourself, right?
Yeah.
Giving it all away before you die, perhaps, whatever. Okay, so let's, by the way, that Mexican thing, we had a condo in Mexico and we went there all the time, once we were on the road, it's outside of our condo, and we're going to take the bus into town. And there's people selling tchotchkes all over the place on the beach and this and that and all that. And but there's also people, the thing that everybody is on the street is they're selling timeshares or condos. So it's like, where's the next person that comes? No one's there. There's this woman, and she comes up to me and blah, 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 blah. And so I said, let's turn the tables on that. And so I took out my camera and I started taking pictures of her. It's like I was just having fun with it instead of resisting. It says, why are you taking my picture? Oh, we're here Americans that are studying the anthropological such and such of condo salesmen and the blah, blah, blah. We really are blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we started to laugh, and then my wife took a picture of us together, and we said, we already have a condo. We are not buying another one ever. Good luck, you know? So if people had done that to the market, I would have just probably broke out laughing. I mean, just, it's hysterical. What if you said, wait a second, I'm just your luck. Back off, or I won't buy anything. Okay? Fine. You would never do that. You'd run away. You did. Try it. Are you in Cancun for a few more days?
I leave tomorrow.
Oh, well. Better go out and do it this afternoon. We're so scared of people. We're so afraid of all of that. We have so much stuff around that. So let's take the archetype of the pushy salesman, squeeze all the bad stuff out of it, and what are you left with? Left with is a big part of who you really are. That's what I want to get across. What are you left with?
Yeah, the relentless, I guess. I think that relentless quality is so valuable.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be obnoxious relentlessness.
Right.
What else?
I like the, I guess, fearlessness of approaching everybody, like not giving people your power. So it's, yeah, I think it requires a certain fearlessness to be able to approach anybody and talk to anybody and ask anybody for.
Yeah. See, who you are is fearless. Just like a 4-year-old kid or a toddler. Mm-hmm. They're fearless. Notice kids ask for what they want all the frigging time. You know, it's a damn job to be a parent because you have to say no most of the time because this is just, right, Leanne? I don't know what that's like having a toddler. I have a grandchild in that age, so I'm not exposed to it 24/7 like the parents. Papa, I want this. Papa, I want that. Papa, I want blah, 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 blah. So who you are is fearless anyway. There's a part in you that loves that, but when we clothe it in the used car salesperson, well, we push that away and want to be safe. That's why I call embracing the shadow side, embracing the positive, useful, practical parts of the shadow side, which is fearlessness. I mean, what if you woke up in the morning and you couldn't be afraid anymore? I can't promise that's going to happen to you, but what if, just as a mind experiment, what would your life be like? And I don't mean stupid fearless like jumping over cliffs or parachuting without a parachute and grabbing onto someone with one, you know. Climbing up El Capitan without any ropes, you know. We're being sane here, sane fearlessness, right? What would that be like? Really, tell me.
I think I would accomplish a lot more. Like, I just think I would do it.
You would accomplish a lot more.
Yeah.
See, that's a good question to not try to be fearless. It's not about trying. See, it's already there. It's sort of, you're not taking fearless from somebody else and doing a brain transplant. It's already there naturally. So the question is, questions like this, what would it be like to be fearless? What are the parts in myself that are already fearless and exhibit fearlessness sometimes in my life? What's something that I am strongly take a stand for and fearlessly will talk about? Find the fearless parts of yourself that are already are expressing and see how can you morph that into your business? You know, a little stretch at a time. How can I be a little more fearless today? Make sense?
Absolutely.
No, everybody else sees you as courageous, fearless, getting out there, doing something that's hard. And we see ourselves as this little fearful person that won't make outreach calls. That's not how I see you. So, Udo, since you came front and center here, I think you want to share. Who's your archetype? The ugly American archetype.
I don't think it's too American style. It's in Germany the same archetype you have. It's like Mark, somebody you cannot trust in a project. He always turns back on you when you're talking something, when the things are getting over and getting ugly. Then you always try to find someone that is guilty of the failing.
So, can you think of a specific person that's been like that you worked with?
Well, yeah, a lot of them. Yeah,
a lot of them.
Yeah.
Okay, give a name give a name. It can be a made up name or a particular person that really rubbed you the wrong way.
I had one person in mind for this.
Okay.
He's pretty like Marcus, and he's also somebody in the army. He has always this kind of speech when he's talking to you. He's always in the mode that you have to, in the order mode that you have to do something. Even if he's not in a position to tell you, but he's always in this mode. And
I don't understand. He's doing what? He's always what?
He's like a person in the army. He's talking to you as you were in the army. He's always short sentences with an order of theme in it. And he's always trying to save his back. He's not, how should I say? When he starts a project with you, he's already thinking, when something goes wrong, how can I come out of this without any losses? Who is guilty, but that's not me? Who can it be? That's the first, when he starts a project, this is the first thought he has, even if nothing has happened.
Okay, so take that person, squeeze all the bad out of that, really tight, like a wet towel, and you're left with good qualities. So what are some of those good qualities, powerful qualities that you could embody more? Just one word, qualities.
Just one. He is very focused on the point, always.
Very focused.
Yeah, very focused.
That's a good thing to be, right.
Right.
Other than that?
No, it's just, you cannot talk to him.
So if being focused is a really possible thing, but see, you conflate that with all the other negative stuff. So I'm not saying you're not focused, but if you were more focused and you stretched a bit, you know, I think that maybe has been a bit of an issue. It's like, which project am I going to do? Which thing? It's like there's so many possibilities. So that's been an issue for you. So that's a perfect one for you. So what changes or what's a stretch change that you could see moving towards more focus? What would that look like?
Hard to say. I don't see me as not very focused because that's...
Would you be more decisive?
No, I don't think
so. Okay, so find a characteristic in him that you don't have as much of. That's a positive character. Something, if you squeezed out the bad, what would you admire him for? What would you say? Wow, that's a... I don't like him, but I like that basic characteristic.
I don't like any characteristics of him. He has some bad characters, which are good in project, but I don't like them. I like him very much. That's the point.
Okay.
You can always do better things. And if you do a project and you have a project manager and you have people under you, you can always press them hard that they do more work, better work, and always these kind of things, even if they are working already very much. And he's the guy of, he's the type of guy that is pressing you always, always out everything until you are really exhausted.
Okay, he's persistent.
Right.
Look, you've got to see, what I'm saying is you've got to try to make, look at the positive parts within the negative. He's persistent, he's hard driving, he's focused. So for you, what's a stretch for any of those positive things?
Being the hard driving part, pushing people really to the maximum out. Yeah.
Harder driving without being obnoxious.
What?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So think of it.
For me, yeah. Yeah.
Read the article again. Think it through. You know, what is that part? What's the part that you deny, push away, and resist? And see that some of those characteristics are extraordinarily helpful for you. It's part of you already. You just deny it. And you become a victim. Oh, I'm working so hard, I can't get my business going. I'm not blaming you for that. I know you're in an interesting situation. He really wants to start this online business, and yet he's got a lot of work. Money's not a problem, but reaching his dream is. It's like, what's stopping you, and what characteristics on that so-called shadow side do you need to embody to move it forward, no matter what?
Right.
And for you, it's more difficult just because of the circumstance.
Right.
But inherently, the circumstance doesn't stop you. Inherently. Okay? So I think we've talked to almost everybody, but not everybody. I mean, you gave a, I know we're running a little late. Carol, you want to just do one quickly? Shadow side? Shadow
so,
person?
Yeah, I really couldn't think of anyone really good. The only thing I could come up with on such short notice, because I got to page 29 this morning on the article, so I got into a little bit, was maybe a Kardashian, you know, Kim Kardashian. I don't know. That's, I mean, I don't hate her, but it's just, she's irritating because she seems so, you know, it's all about her and just being, you know, the way she, it kind of reminds me of a lot of the girls I grew up with on Long Island in New York.
Beautiful and privileged and like, arrogant.
Yeah,
and
everything's so easy. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I couldn't get past 3 minutes of watching that show. Maybe 5, maybe 10 at the max. I watched it and I said, there's no there. It's these arrogant, beautiful people that are disgusting.
Like, do they even know what a problem is? We know what.
And they're everywhere. You can't escape them on the internet. There's always some freaking link about what some stupid, arrogant thing a Kardashian did. Okay, squeeze out all the bad part. You know, she's a very, very successful businesswoman. Mm-hmm. It's a zillion dollar clothing line. Is extremely hardworking.
Yeah, in fact, when I went to New York, I wanted to go to her store, one of her stores, because I wanted to see, well, what does it look like? What did she accomplish?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's probably ultra expensive.
Oh, yeah. Never made it there. Is that right?
Yeah. So what is it about Kim Kardashian, if you squeeze out the bad, that is sort of a part of yourself that you have isolated or marginalized that you could take on and stretch a bit?
Well, she seems to get what she wants.
She does.
She gets what she wants. I want to get what I want.
Yes. Yeah, who knows? I mean, who knows? These you know, reality shows and these people, it's so strange to me. We think we know them. We really don't.
Right. This is true.
Really,
yeah, so like she might not be a good example, but all I could come up with.
But no, I think she's a perfect example. She's a perfect example. Well, any example is fine. You can use anything. It's like you know, going for perfection is not a, is a comfort zone thing, remember? It's like, okay, let's work with that. So squeeze out the negative, and you see persistence, she gets what she wants. So what's something that you need to stretch into that she's already handled? It's like, are you kidding? You tell your husband to do this, and he does it. Are you kidding? Or he doesn't get any of this. I mean, what?
So what I tell my clients sometimes is, you know, channel your inner, excuse me, everybody, for my language, channel your inner bitch. Just channel it, because everyone has that part, even someone that's very non-assertive and quiet and passive. Everybody has that little part that wants to come out once in a while. So she has that really good.
So experiment with that. What would that look like in your business, in your life, in your family, if you took the advice you're actually giving to people but are not following yourself necessarily, to channel that inner bitch? What would that be?
It's funny to hear you say.
Bitch is not a swear word. I use the F word all the time.
Well, what I say sometimes to my client is biatch.
Biatch, whatever. It's the Hollywood version. Right. So it's like, what's something that you would do in your business that would channel the inner bitch that would be a positive for your business?
I don't know. I got to think about
come on,
it.
Come on.
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. You got to come up with that. Think about that. You know, when I was brushing my teeth this morning, or when I was shaving this morning, I was thinking, you know, this whole stuff, you know, when I get into something like this, it consumes me. I read the article 3 times. I wrote an e-zine on it. I've been sharing it with a lot of people. I've been having
fun. Consumed by it.
I'm consumed by it. I want to squeeze out every piece of value of that and understand it. And, you know, it relates to the whole mindset thing and the limiting beliefs and Byron Katie's work and the whole thing. It's really, really useful. And it's a place, you know, I said I really haven't gone there before. And then after the interview was over, I didn't really totally get into it. And then I read this interview. I said, this is my best interview ever. It was so great, so fun. We covered so many interesting things. So I got to revisit that. And I said, okay, so what's my stretch? My stretch, and I said, yeah, it's all about looking good. I got to be willing to look bad. Mm. I got to just be willing to look bad. Look foolish. Be fearless. Stretch in that area. And that's always been my stretch. But I would like to deny that and just look good. I really would. I want to stay in that comfort zone. But that only gets me so far. You know, I was willing to stretch out more with my promotion for the club and for the program before that. And I was willing to get feedback from David Garfinkel, my friend, that says my copy sucks, totally sucks. And I was willing to suck that up and make it better and be out there. He says, Robert, you're not giving enough outcomes and benefits. I'm not interested yet. That's how he talked. I said, oh, shit, yes, I'm trying to make it look too careful and too nice. And then, and still, I you know, could go further than that. Because, you know, we all have that kind of stuff. Me, you, everybody. And it's just, what's the next level for us? You know, for me, I've gone to levels in my business that you guys haven't gone to. In other areas of your personal growth, family, relationships and stuff, you're probably way friggin' beyond me. I'm sure you are, many of you. So there's always some stretch for us.
So I feel like I've been stretching a lot, like just in this, you know, every little thing I'm doing in this class. When I sent out that first bulk email to my list,
yeah,
I mean, I'm thinking, oh my God, like all these people, I have a lot of professional contacts that, you know, went through my head of what are they going to think about what I'm sending out, you know, how are they going to view this? And, you know, so it was all my past clients, all my professional contacts, friends, family. I am putting myself, my writing, my views, my work out there. We never talked about this, but I felt like I was jumping out of an airplane. It was just like, oh my God, this is going out to my little universe.
Yeah.
But it went out, and it's funny because recently I've been getting some feedback like from family saying, you know, I really enjoy those emails you send. They're very professionally written. I said, thank you. I'm getting some help, but thank you. Yeah, so, but it was, that was very kind of scary, sending that out. But then when I sent out my 7th, 8th one, I didn't even really give a shit. You know, it was just like, whatever.
I'm doing the best I can. I'm sending it out. I'm putting it out there. I'm going for it. Yeah.
But it's getting to that, like, I don't care what people think. Like, it, you know, like the inner bitch. Like, I don't care what you think. This is what I want. This is what I think is best. This is what I want to share with the world. So,
as they say, you go, girl. All right. Yeah. I'm very proud of you for what you've done. You know, you try things. Some things have worked. Some things haven't. You know, in the meantime, you've filled your practice. Now you're at a different energy level. You're, you know, just things are coming to you. Mm-hmm. All this work you've done, you know, it comes back to you in a lot of ways.
It does.
You got to keep stretching. Someone said in life, there is no hovering. Are you going down or you're going up? But it doesn't mean you have to be better than everybody and be more magnificent or rich or whatever, but you have to be moving forward in some way, or just life gets stagnant. Business gets stagnant. Our mind gets stagnant. Our emotions get stagnant. As a therapist, you can use that on a client today, by the way, if you want.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the tip.
That kind of conversation is an important conversation. It's something that I've been passionate about forever. And yet there's, you know, I still see my incredible ineptitude in certain areas, my certain fear about stretching to the next level. I look at marketing guys that are making millions of dollars a year, and it's like, oh, my God, I don't want to work that hard for one thing. But I could make more. I could do more things. I could, you know, trying to figure out what the next stage is. You know, I'm in an interesting stage. I sort of want to retire, and I sort of want to do more than I've ever wanted to do. I'm trying to find a balance between those things. I want to produce more results without working as hard. That's a tricky thing to do. Mm-hmm. So I want to get more people in the club. So that's sort of my press, because if I get people in the club, they pay me $29 a month. 300 people in the club gives me almost $10,000 a month. Mm-hmm. With not a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting a lot of value. So it's like, okay, that's something that I have to really press into, figure out how to do that. Learn what to say in those emails, offer, you know, so I'm always thinking that. And if I could be making $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a month in the club, I could be going to Hawaii more often.
Be nice.
Or Cancun, right, Sarah?
Be accosted by the locals.
Be accosted by the locals and have fun with the locals and take pictures of them. Right. I could take more pictures. So there's always the next level for us, but there's no have to. It's sort of, it's already in your heart. It's in your desires. It's in your DNA. All of our DNA to expand, to grow, to learn. It's there already. And so that's what I'm challenging you to explore. And this whole framework that John creates is a really useful one to do that. Really useful and fun too. This whole thing of, you know, squeezing out the bad of Dick Cheney, we can hardly even imagine that. And he said, well, when I wrote my book, I was very self-critical. And he said, I wrote the book, but I had never read my book. He never sat down after it was published and read it. And he said, one day at the airport, I had nothing better to do. I pulled out my book that I had and I started to read it, and I was really getting into it. And I said, hey, this is pretty good stuff. Mm-hmm. He said, Dick Cheney would never have that problem. He says, it's the best book that has ever been written. Are you kidding? I don't care if anybody hates it. They're wrong. I'm right. Ultimate confidence.
I do have that problem with listening to my own recordings. I don't want to listen to them.
I hear you.
And then I did listen to one when I was doing the other course, and I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty good. So that happened to me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really don't like listening to my recordings. And the thing is, my family, like, sometimes my husband helps me with the editing, and, like, they'll make fun of them. I mean, it's really hard because they listen. And if you're not in the moment of doing the hypnosis, it does sound ridiculous. And it can if you're in the mode of making fun of it. So I have taken a lot of that abuse. which maybe is good. It's helping me up a little bit, but it's I don't know.
Carol, you got a good sense of humor. You take yourself lightly. Anyway, that's important too. Okay, guys, we could go on forever. Leanne, we didn't do one for you, actually. Do you want to do one quickly? So we're going over time. Great, you'll survive. If you have to go, go. But let's take a couple minutes.
Yeah, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten lunch yet, and it's 2:30. And I don't really have somebody in particular in mind, so I'm okay. I mean, everybody's resonates with me for certain, but
well, yeah. When you wake up tomorrow morning after your shower, you might go, oh, my God, it's Leona Helmsley.
I like Leona Helmsley.
Okay, fine. You know, she went to jail for
she tax fraud. She did go to jail for tax evasion, but she was a very successful woman overall.
Well, you're seeing the positive side. She had the dark side. She was sort of the ultra bitch real estate lady. And then, on the other hand, she ran a great hotel that people loved. Or hotels.
I've been to her hotel in Cincinnati, as a matter of fact. It's delightful. Great place to stay if you're going to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's funny because I read an interview of her years ago and she hated Donald Trump. Hated Donald Trump. So, anyway, guys, okay, so this was a fun session. I hope it was valuable to you. I hope it gave you a little way to think about this stuff and work on this stuff. And my assignment this week is find a way to stretch. You know, what's the next thing you're going to stretch into? Whatever it is. You can do that. It's already a part of you. It's already a part. Just tap into that, the shadow part of yourself. See what happens. Okay, we'll see you in 2 weeks after my vacation. And have a good couple of weeks. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, end meeting.